Country Bob FM.
Hope you're ready for the Almanac, because here it is at 8:48 on Tuesday morning, the Tuesday edition of the Almanac, Tuesday, June 25th. June is slipping through our fingers.
Boy,
as
sure.
We speak.
Yep.
176 in, 189 left, getting closer where those two numbers meet. Then once they do meet, that means midway mark and point of the year. We can do math here on the Almanac. We know how the calendar works. This date, 841, Charles the Bald and Louis the German defeated Lothar at Fontenay on this date.
Was that an AWA match?
Very well may have been. Now, Lothar, they didn't list it here, but he was Lothar the lactose intolerant, fighting up against Charles the Bald.
Right.
In 841. Oh,
they had a real distaste for each other.
They hated each other.
Right.
One hated the one because he had hair, and the other one because he could eat cheese.
Right.
1630, this date, the fork was introduced to American dining. Governor Winthrop, Mr. Winthrop was the governor of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. This was still very early on in the 1630s of Puritan life in New England. And, hey, I got something for you. And he reaches in his pocket, and they're wondering what he's pulling out. And it's a fork.
Huh.
Now, of course, as you know, the spork wouldn't be introduced until many, many, many years later by Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Right.
But this was the fork. 1630.
When did the phrase "put a fork in it"? That would followed shortly thereafter.
It couldn't have been much longer after that, and maybe that originated in Europe because it was the Europeans that introduced the fork. Mm-hmm. I don't know when the fork was introduced in Europe. It might have been millennia before that, or at least centuries before 1630. But for people in America and American dining, fork 1630. This is the date. So think of that when you're using a fork here today. I bet you there's a pretty good bet that you're going to use your fork. Or do you eat all your food by hand?
Depends on how hungry I am.
Chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
And from the rear a voice was heard. A brave young man with a trembling word ran loud and clear.
What am I doing here? Please, Mr.
So 1876, this is the date of Custer's last stand. Larry Vern, he made... Made, of course, it famous with this song.
Please don't make me go.
From my KTEL album, Wacky Wackos, or whatever it was, Crazy Tunes, Wacky Tunes. George Armstrong Custer, last stand. He was severely outnumbered.
He thought it was going to be the other way around.
It really wasn't his fault. I mean, he only went in there with 225 troops going up against about 3,000 Sioux and Cheyenne Indians.
Right.
And,
it's like somebody gave him bad yardage.
They were bad yardage. They blame his caddy.
Right, I mean.
On that.
I thought you said this was a 140-yard shot. It's 300.
Yeah, he didn't even get close to clearing the water in this one. So it was the last stand. 1876. Here this day, Little Bighorn, Montana. 1941, Neil, you being a World War II historian, I'm sure you're well familiar with the role of Finland in World War II. It's quite an interesting story because Finland, on this date in 1941, actually declared war on the Soviet Union.
Huh?
Because the Soviet Union had invaded Finland. But then eventually, they came to a truce, and then Finland later in the war would then...
Fight alongside of them, bro.
Yes, exactly. They joined the Allies and then would declare war on Germany. So Finland, that's a good trivia question. Name a country that fought against the Allies, although I don't know if Soviet Union were they allied in 1941. I don't know, you'd have to look at the actual dates. But, you know, fought against a team or a country on side to the Allies and then fought against the Axis in the same war.
Yeah.
That would be Finland. Have a hard time deciding and making up their mind.
Right.
Those Finns. But that was in 1941. Then 1950 in the news, more war news.
Thousands of communist Russia-equipped North Korean troops pour across the 38th parallel into South Korea.
North Korea invaded South Korea this date. That means the Korean War began on this date, 1950. We wouldn't have MASH if we didn't have the Korean War.
Right.
So that was in 1950. And, of course, U.S. would eventually get involved, as you know, as well. And they're still separated.
Yes, they are.
North and South.
Yep.
73.
Accordingly, I gave considerable thought to how I would present this situation to the president and try to make as dramatic a presentation as I could to tell him how serious I thought the situation was, that the cover-up continue. I began by telling the president that there was a cancer growing on the presidency, and if the cancer was not removed, the president himself would be killed by it.
Pretty powerful words at the Watergate hearings this date, 1973. That's White House Counsel John Dean.
Oh, sure.
Dean, a Watergate character.
No relation to Jimmy.
Although he did like sausage for breakfast. He admitted that and did a pretty good Big Bad John. John Dean admitted that U.S. President Richard Nixon took part in the Watergate cover-up, using the term cover-up this day in 73.
Beginning of the end there for Tricky Dick.
Yeah. 1977, Roy Sullivan was struck by lightning for the seventh time. He is the man in the Guinness Book of World Records as the most lightning-struck person in the world.
You just got to be. I mean, he's got to go, what, again?
Again.
You're kidding. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's a lightning rod in a bottle.
No chance of combing his hair.
No.
Get struck by lightning seven times. There's no taming that rat's nest.
Or a cue ball.
93.
I've been thinking about it, and so this question keeps coming up. What will you miss? What's going to happen? What will you miss? How do you feel? And so I guess I'm thinking now, well, what I really will miss, I guess, is that kind of vague, non-specific sexual tension between... me and you know, Garrick Utley.
David Letterman, his final NBC show, late night. Of course, he didn't get the Tonight Show. NBC didn't give him the Tonight Show, so then he was moving on to CBS. And this was the last airing, his last show on NBC this date, 1993.
A little bitter.
I would say so. Yep. There's no doubt about that. Yep. But he made a lot of money going to CBS.
It
so
did. Worked out.
It did work out. 1997.
As we like to say in Minnesota, that hockey's back.
Yeah, that was this day. That's nice. Robert Naegele, the man who brought NHL hockey back to Minnesota. It was announced this date that the NHL has approved a franchise, not only for Minnesota and Minneapolis-St. Paul, but Columbus, Atlanta, and Nashville. Both, of course, Minnesota and Atlanta. Former
teams.
Franchises, yes. And teams. The Atlanta Flames were there. And, of course, Atlanta has since lost the Thrashers.
Right.
And they went back up. They went to Winnipeg.
They're 0-2.
Yeah, they are 0-2 for hockey in Atlanta. That was in 97. In 1999, this date.
All's well.
Yes, I know.
Let the world
all's well that ends well.
And it was ending well after how many years? 35 years on the air. Another World. On NBC, its last episode.
Never watched it.
And this is a version, you know this song, right? This is
yes.
In This Life, Colin Ray. I don't know who that's singing, though. It might be Roberta Flack. I don't know. It sounds like Roberta Flack. Could be Phoebe Snow. I'm not sure. But that was in 1999, 2000.
That come true.
In This Life, not that one. Now in 2000.
The moment we are here to witness was brought about through brilliant and painstaking work of scientists all over the world, including many men and women here today. It was not even 50 years ago that a young Englishman named Crick and a brash, even younger American named Watson first discovered the elegant structure of our genetic code.
Yeah, it was the big genome announcement this date. U.S. and British researchers, they've completed a rough draft of a map of the genetic makeup of human beings. Let Ancestry.com begin.
Sure.
Now we can have all that fun. That was this year, 2000. Of course, that's President Bill Clinton, who's been known to want to spread his genes around, making the announcement in the year 2000. 2009, this was in Hollywood.
A shocking day in Hollywood. Both the King of Pop and Farrah Fawcett die on the very same day. We start with the stunning death of Michael Jackson.
So it was the day Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett both passed away. This day, 2009. Now, Farrah Fawcett wasn't a surprise.
She had cancer.
She had cancer and had been battling it after 3 years. She was 62, but certainly the Michael Jackson death was very shocking. And it turned out that his doctor, Conrad Murray, was convicted of involuntary manslaughter. His death was ruled a homicide eventually.
Yeah, he was only 50.
Yes, and that was this day, 2009. Birthdays now.
And the storm that Uncle Petrie spoke about, the cyclone, isn't going to come anywhere near Calverton or this farm.
Are you sure?
Pretty near positive.
June Lockhart, not only is she a great space traveler, although they got lost in space, and not only was she Timmy's mom on Lassie, she's also obviously an amateur meteorologist. She can forecast cyclones.
She has a certain set of skills.
June Lockhart is 94 today. One of the great big men in the history of the NBA, Willis Reed, New York Knicks, couple of championships.
Oh, he was so good.
Including one where he was injured, had to limp onto the court and inspired his team to a win, Neil.
A triumphant return.
It sure was. F 77 for Willis Reed today.
Nobody gets you better.
Well, thank you, Carly, for... singing this song to us about the Bob Almanac.
One of the great Bond songs ever.
The Spy Who Loved Me.
No doubt. Barbara Bach.
You're So Vain, among other songs. Carly Simon, 74. She was with James Taylor for a while. Kid Dynamite on our birthday list today.
Oh, you look so fine.
Well, you know, what can I say?
I know. So he's probably getting ready for a date with Samantha the Human Panther. There's Jimmy Walker as JJ, of course, on Good Times.
I love that show.
Wow, Jimmy Walker is 72. Whew. Phyllis George, she has a milestone birthday today. Former Miss America, then was on the NFL Today for the longest time.
Made a name for
and
herself
and a TV
there.
Talk show.
Very
and
well.
Host and personality. Phyllis George is 70.
I know that I must do what's right. Sure as Kilimanjaro of the Serengeti.
So, David Page, who's known as the keyboardist for Toto, but he sang lead on this song. You know, Weezer did a remake of this last year.
Uh-huh.
And I bet you there were versions of this song done during the Lookout in Maple Grove karaoke contest that
it could have been
as good or if not better than the Weezer version of this song. But this is a classic. David Page of Toto is 55.
They did a lot of work with Boz Scaggs.
Oh, they sure
prior
did.
To, and Steely Dan.
Ricky Gervais.
On a serious note, just looking at all the faces here reminds me of some of the great work that's been done this year by cosmetic surgeons.
There he is hosting the Golden Globes. Ricky Gervais is 58. The best of him today. Mount Mutombo, Basketball Hall of Famer Dikembe Mutombo.
He's a big man.
And he's known for blocking shots.
Mm-hmm.
Not in my house. He's 53 today. And Angela from The Office.
You have your cats on nanny cam.
Yeah. I mean, I usually try to take leave when I get a new cat, but I'm out of vacation days. And this company still doesn't recognize cat maternity. I mean, somebody has a kid, oh, sure, take off a year.
She's right. I had my second kid just for the vacation.
Hi, Angela Kinsey, who played Angela in The Office. 48 today, and we're stopping it there.
Gone, but certainly not forgotten. Is doll designer Rose O'Neill. Where would we be without the Cupie doll?
Did she also do the kitty carry-all?
She may have.
I thought so.
Rose O'Neill, born on this day, 1874. He gave us Animal Farm and the book 1984. I think we had to read those as part of our curriculum in school.
If you didn't read Animal Farm in government class in high school, you didn't have government class in high school.
Right,
you did. Just put it that way.
You had to. George Orwell is the guy who wrote both of those, and he was born on this day. The year was 1903. What about singer Harold Melvin? This is pretty good.
He and his buddies, the Blue Notes.
Yes. Hey, you want to be one of my Blue Notes?
That's what you get after you don't sing for a while.
You get Blue Notes. Could happen. Harold Melvin was born on this day, 1939. Chef Anthony Bourdain hosted Anthony Bourdain on CNN.
He was
Party
good.
Unknown. Born on this day, 1956, and he was one half of Wham.
Wake me up before you go, go. Believe me, hanging on like a yo-yo. Wake me up before you go, go. I don't wanna miss it.
Had solo success as well, of course.
What a peppy song.
Very peppy.
Very
peppy. Perfect. Perfect to get you going on a Tuesday morning.
Does anybody even remember the other guy?
No.
George
Michael.
It could be Ralph Mel for all we know.
Right. Here they are, George Michael and Al Gore as Wham. Grammy Award-winning singer George Michael, born on this day, 1963. We lost him very young. They're all gone, but not forgotten.
Are you ready for a long, uninterrupted stretch of music? It's just going to go on for on and on to kick off your no-repeat workday.
And we will make Devin Worley, who should have been on the birthday list maybe at 21, part of the Bobathon.
Jones. Okay, very nice. You have been notified that it is her birthday. Can you confirm that it
is?
Or just,
I guess.
Are you double checking your sources? It's none of this fake news stuff.
I haven't seen it.
It's on Twitter doesn't mean it's right.
Right.
And correct.
We have had calls, but I'm sure it'll show up on my Facebook feed at some point today. I don't know how that works. I could probably seek it out.
But. Mark Wills, Jacob's Ladder. Mm-hmm. Prop Me Up Beside the Jukebox, Joe Diffie, or Judd's Girls Night Out.
Let's make it a girls' night out, shall
we? Okay.
All you need for summer.